I'm Carrie Spaulding, and this is Communication Campfire, Speak with Confidence. And this free seminar is a preview of 30-something Summer Camp, which is an awesome four-week program that kicks off Monday, August 5th, and runs through the end of August on Mondays. And if you're already registered for the series, and I see that we do have some people on the line calling in now who are already campers, I'm so, so happy to have you here in this preview before we kick off in a couple weeks. Welcome. And if you're a guest on this free preview call, there will be an opportunity for you to learn about the full four-week program. And I'll be letting you know how to register for camp at the end of the call if that's something that interests you. And whether or not you decide to sign up for summer camp, you're going to be walking away tonight with some great concepts and tools to kickstart your communication. So I'm really excited to have a big group of people here tonight. And I really believe that one of the most important and fundamental steps you can take to improve your relationships, your career, and your life is to be a confident, powerful, and effective communicator. So with the tools and concepts we're going to talk about, you'll feel less overwhelmed and nervous in social situations, which are both really, really normal reactions, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm here doing this work, and I've chosen communication as the theme for 30-something summer camp this year because I know firsthand the challenges of frustrating communication. I've been there. I've been there at work. I've been there at home. And I truly believe that developing communication is some of the most important work that we can do. So in my private coaching, this is one of those areas that people have a big interest in getting help with across the board. And interestingly enough, while some people come to coaching particularly to work with communication, it ends up coming into all of our goals, no matter what area we're focused in on. So just to give you a little bit of background about me, I'm a professional certified coach, and while I've had clients ranging from age 10 all the way up to people in their 60s, I specialize in helping 30-somethings who aren't who or where they want to be in their relationships, careers, and lives. And often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic and feeling like they should have figured it all out by now. So what I do is help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. So I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which means I get to work with people from all over the place. And you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can reach me and sign up for free tips and tools on my website there as well, and connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. 30-something written out, no spaces, no numbers. The concepts and the tools that we're going to be talking about tonight apply to people of all ages. So I really, you know, I know that we have some non-30-somethings on the call tonight, and I'm glad that you're here. And I invite you to just listen with an ear for how this works for you. These are really universal principles. Many of you may be jumping on the call after a long day of rushing around. So I want to invite you to let go of where you just came from and give yourself what you need to be really engaged and present for this class. So take a moment right now and just do a little mental inventory of your social and professional life and relationships. And just take a moment to ask yourself two focusing questions. So the first is, if you were to be a better communicator, what would be different as a result? If you were to be a better communicator, what would be different as a result? And the second question is, how do you want your energy around communication to be different as a result of being here in this class tonight? How do you want your energy around communication to be different as a result of taking this class tonight? So taking the time to ask yourself those questions can really help set the scene for what you're going to get out of this call tonight. I really encourage you, you're going to get the most out of this if you actually do the exercises that we talk about and really take the time to apply it to yourself. And when we're in 30-something summer camp, we're going to be doing a lot of active participation and sharing. Tonight, most participation is going to be over the dashboard, and I'll go over that in a minute, but if you have questions, you can feel free to email me. But know that in summer camp, we've built in, that's why we have a 90-minute call. There's going to be a lot of time for Q&A, for live coaching. Tonight, most feedback is going to be over the dashboard, which is on your computer. We're here to talk about speaking with confidence. I'm always curious about the origins of words, and I was really interested in that word confidence because I didn't actually know the root there. And it turns out that it comes from Latin confidentia or confidentum, and it means firmly trusting and bold. And the present participle means to have full trust or reliance. And I really love that because my hope for you tonight and through 30-something summer camp is that you are able to have full trust and reliance on yourself as a communicator, and that you can trust yourself fully, that any situation you enter into, you'll be able to handle it. So no matter how timid you might feel or how many situations you might get into that feel really tricky from a communication standpoint, that you have the tools you need to be able to trust yourself fully to handle it. And I also kind of thought that word bold was cool too, since I know that some of you are on the call hoping to be more bold in your communication. So communication can be loaded as a skill set goes. Many of us have had so many frustrating experiences with communication that we get down on ourselves and we feel like we're just not good at it. Like it takes a special kind of person to be able to communicate effectively, and we're not one of those people. So I have a really powerful reframe for you. And that's the principle to treat communication just like any other thing you might want to learn, like sailing or HTML or baking a cake. Just take all the judgment and emotional load off of yourself and let yourself think of communication as just another skill set that you're developing. Just like anything else, the skills of communication are ones that can be learned and taught. And that, even in and of itself, can create a huge shift. When you develop your awareness of these skills, you can choose them mindfully. So tonight we're really going to be focusing on three things. One is your communication sticking points, and this is where you get stuck, part of the interaction that really holds you up, or a type of situation that always tends to push your buttons or make you feel really bad about yourself, your sticking points. We're also going to talk about confidence killers, and that's what I call the thoughts and the beliefs and the interpretations that the sticking points trigger in you. So these are the kind of broken records that play in your brain whenever you hit a sticking point. And we're also going to be talking about the basic tools and qualities that make up effective communication that's confident and impactful. So we talked about how hard it can be to communicate. What makes it worth the work? Well, relationships are central to everything in our lives. And communication is central to every relationship. For that reason, it's worth investing in learning to be a confident, effective communicator for most people. So much has been written and created on this topic because it's so central, and there are so many resources if you seek them. As a coach, I'm a big believer that you know yourself best, and you're best equipped to decide what's best for you. So I encourage you to approach any resource, including this call tonight, with an open mind and try things out and see what works for you, and then decide what you want to take and what you want to say, thank you for sharing, and then leave. And that goes right back to that place of trusting yourself. And I also want to just kind of acknowledge that this is really deep work, and it's something that some people work on for, 3 or 6 months in private coaching, and we have an hour tonight, so we're obviously not going to be able to cover everything. But I do want to give you some concrete strategies and exercises that you can do. And I want you to walk away tonight with an understanding of concepts to help you feel calm and empowered instead of pressured and insecure, and to have tools to help you balance that pressure and insecurity, at least when it does come up. So just to kind of give you a little bit of overview and give you a little bit of information about how I came to some of this. Part of why I'm so passionate about doing this work is because I've walked through it. I've had the experience of feeling incredibly frustrated with communication and really digging in to get more confident about it. There are a couple of key things that I just want to touch on before we jump into the sticking points that can be really valuable in learning about yourself as a communicator. And one of the most important things I want to teach you tonight is the importance of understanding and reframing your thoughts and your stories and your beliefs around social interactions. That's directly related to your confidence. We'll be talking about it in a lot more detail. What you believe about yourself and what you interpret from other people's reactions shows up in how you communicate and how you feel about and approach your interactions. We all have a communication MO and story, and you learned how to communicate over the course of your life and how to show up in social situations from your parents, from the schoolyard, from your teachers, from your peers. And along the way, you got feedback, perhaps encouraging, perhaps not, that you encoded and used to create your decisions and your MO and your sort of automatic responses. You also learn things to protect yourself from feeling vulnerable. And it's totally natural to want to protect yourself from social awkwardness. It's wired in us. It's totally natural to be triggered when you're in a situation that makes you feel awkward. And triggers and buttons show up a lot in communication and conflict, and we're going to talk about that a lot more in week 4 of summer camp, but tonight we're going to be talking about how triggers and buttons show up in situations that are, you know, where you're meeting somebody or where you're with people you don't know well. So part of this work is to identify what's your story and how do all these individual interactions fit into your larger narrative or screenplay of yourself as a social being. Another important thing is to think about sort of the inside and the outside and learn about the difference between what you mean and are experiencing on the inside and what others get and receive on the outside. It can be incredibly painful when you find out that there's a big mismatch or a gap between what you feel or what you mean to show or express on the inside and what others are getting or perceiving on the outside. And I personally experienced tremendous transformation because of feedback that I received and experiments that I crafted for myself about when I realized that there was a big gap between what I was experiencing inside and what I was expressing on the outside. So we're going to be talking about over the next many weeks and a little bit tonight about how you can, what you can do when you kind of notice that gap. And the good news is that when you're open to exploring and trying stuff out, you can do a lot to close that gap and to have what you're feeling on the inside match up with what's being received. When I went through that process, I noticed such a tremendous difference in the way that people responded to me, even just when I would walk down the street. So you, part of this work is to really figure out what message do you want to send to the world and where, if anywhere, is the mismatch between what you're experiencing, feeling, thinking, intending on the inside and what other people are getting. And another important big picture item is to increase your awareness of pattern and story making. So we look for patterns naturally as humans to reinforce what we already believe. So how this might show up for you, if you already believe nobody wants to talk to me, or I'm boring, or I'm not interesting enough, and then you try to strike up a conversation at a party with somebody who doesn't engage or who quickly excuses him or herself, you're likely to look at it as proof to reinforce that negative belief about yourself. And that makes an individual interaction much higher stakes. So we're going to be talking also about how you can increase your awareness of the story that you're telling and the patterns that you feel like you're proving to yourself and how you can be more in an at-choice place about that. A big, big part of this work is to know your communication sticking points. And your sticking points are what I call the point in a conversation or interaction where you start to get frustrated or vulnerable. Many people think about communication as one big scary thing when really there are particular sticking points that are the triggers of discomfort. And that's actually great news because it means that you can target the parts of the interaction that are hardest for you. Those particular moments or aspects of a certain kind of interaction that are hard for you. So sticking points can feel like, or they often sound like, I don't know how to, or I don't know what to. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this situation. And it can be really overwhelming. So breaking it down can really help you get out of that overwhelm and just target those areas that are challenging. So breaking it down from networking is scary to, which is a belief that a lot of people hold, networking is scary, to that moment where I look around and I see everyone standing with someone and I don't know who to talk to is scary. So maybe once you're in a conversation, you're actually an awesome networker. You're great at connecting to people. You're great at you know, listening. You have a fantastic elevator pitch, whatever it is. But just that moment where you're looking around and everybody else is already in a conversation makes you feel sick in your stomach. So another way that you might break down a sticking point is, another example is, dating is a nightmare, which is something that many 30-somethings believe, to I don't know how to turn someone down kindly. That's a specific sticking point. When, you know, that just makes me feel sick when somebody asks me out or somebody says, hey, I'm really into you, and I'm not into them. That makes it so uncomfortable for me. That's a sticking point. So knowing your sticking points can help you create a roadmap for what you want to work on. And by the way, if you enroll in 30-something summer camp, we're going to talk about a little bit later, that part of what that includes is an individual coaching session, and sticking points are great things to bring into your individual coaching session. I know we have some campers on the line, so if you do this exercise tonight, you might want to kind of keep that in mind as a potential thing for us to work on. At what point in a conversation or in an interaction do you get stuck? Do you start to feel frustrated or most vulnerable? And I'm going to share some of the ones I hear most commonly. So a big one is what to say in order to start a conversation, how to end a conversation, how to deal with silences that feel awkward to me, what to do when someone is saying something mean about someone else and I feel uncomfortable, how or whether to initiate contact with somebody that I think is attractive or interesting, bouncing back after rejection, saying no thank you to something offered to me, if someone turns you down, like how do you handle it after you put yourself out there? What do you actually say? If no one comes to talk to you, so maybe you go to a big social event and nobody else comes and talks to you. Excusing yourself from a conversation. So like you're at the networking event, you've talked to that same person for, 5 minutes, and it's not that you're not interested, but you're just kind of ready to move on or whatever it is. How do you excuse yourself? That can be a really big sticking point for some people. Accepting a compliment, drawing boundaries, breaking into a conversation that's already happening in a group of people is a big, big sticking point that people tend to experience in groups. Remembering names and faces. So this is a starting list of sticking points. And I want to invite you, as one of your little homework assignments from this class, is to make a list of your own sticking points and see how clear you can get on what are the things, not the big picture things, not networking or dating or job interview or whatever have you. That's a place to start. But the idea is to really figure out what is that moment, what is the part of the interaction that's really challenging for you. We got a comment on the dashboard, honoring my value and becoming a stronger negotiator professionally. So thinking about in that interaction, What is the moment? What is the trigger? What is the thing that you're hearing from the other person? Or what is the experience that you're having inside of you that triggers that moment of, okay, this is hard, I need to honor my value, and I'm not a strong negotiator, or this is a moment where I have to step up and negotiate strongly. That might be something interesting for you to look into as you're doing this exercise. And another way to do this is to think back to a very uncomfortable situation and a social situation where you felt very uncomfortable, and another one where you felt very confident. And this could be a great writing exercise for you to think, what was really hard about it? Like, walk yourself through, actually, like, close your eyes, get back in that place, and write it out in the present tense. Tap into all your five senses. So I walk into the parent event, and I look around, and everybody's already in a conversation, and I see so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, really tap into those sentences and write down what was hard about it, was a real challenge. For the situation that you're imagining where you were really confident, what is it about that situation that made you feel really confident? What really made you feel at peace? What made you feel really comfortable in your own skin? So really encourage you to take some time later to get down your sticking points and think about what resonates most with you of the ones that you heard tonight, or think about as you go through a date or a networking event, what is that moment that has you really stuck? So now we're going to talk a little bit about confidence killers, and then we're going to circle back and talk about some things you can do with both sticking points and confidence killers. So first we're kind of laying them out on the table, and then we're going to talk about some things that you can do to actually handle them once you're clear on what they are. So confidence killers are the thoughts, assumptions, and interpretations that come up when you hit a sticking point, or even when you're anticipating a sticking point. And the reason I say when you're anticipating a sticking point is because sometimes things can be fine, but it's the anticipation of, you know, I'm going to walk into the room and nobody's going to talk to me, can almost knock you over as much as it actually happening. So these confidence killers can knock you down just like that if they're well ingrained, even if you've just psyched yourself up and you've centered yourself and, you know, you're all excited to go in. If one of those sticking points comes up for you that's really powerful for you, your confidence killers can have the power to make you feel like you were just kidding yourself all along and you should have stayed at home and you should just be home watching Hulu. They can show up as an it's me or an it's them sweeping interpretation or generalization, okay? So major confidence killers tend to be beliefs about yourself that come up that are triggered by these sticking points. I'm not smart enough. I'm not interesting enough. I'm not attractive enough. An example from the dashboard might be, and I don't know your exact situation, so this may not be on point, but it might be I'm not a good negotiator or I don't honor my value. So there are these thoughts and beliefs that knock you down. And they may be interpretations of other people. They don't like me. Nobody wants to talk to me. So to identify your own confidence killers, once you've made your list of sticking points, look at each sticking point. And by the way, you're going to have access to a recording of this call. So if you want to kind of go through and listen again afterwards, you'll be able to do that because I know that we're going pretty fast. But once you've made that list of sticking points, think about for each one, what are your thoughts when that happens about yourself, about the other person? What's the context? So you might even want to keep a log of these as they come up if you're doing a lot of whatever the social activity that's really challenging for you is. And really get clear on your story, your narrative, your broken record, your thoughts in the situations that make you the most nervous. So our thoughts and our beliefs and interpretations can limit us and color our interactions. And if you want to go ahead and type in some of your own confidence colors on the dashboard, I invite you to do that. These are your thoughts about yourself and others that start playing when you hit a sticking point. So there's usually some version of I'm not something enough or I'm too something. I can't. Everybody, nobody, those are always clues that you're dealing with a toxic thought or a confidence killer. So some of the ones that I hear the most often when I work with clients, I'm boring. And these are really ones that show up in social situations and communicating. I'm not interesting enough. I'm slow. I'm not quick enough. I'm misunderstood. I'm stupid. I'm not smart enough for these people. I'm way underdressed. I'm way overdressed. I'm not fashionable enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm ugly. I'm unattractive. I'm out of shape. I'm overweight. I'm weird. I'm strange. I'm too intense. I'm not funny like so-and-so. I'm not charismatic like so-and-so. So sometimes they can come up like that, like comparisons. So when you're clear on your sticking points and the confidence killers that they trigger in you, that's part of the foundational work to this, because then you can start to work on them. And I want to give you tonight some key concepts to help you handle confidence killers and some tricks to kind of prepare for sticking points. So here are some concepts to help you handle confidence killers that are good things for you to just kind of cultivate and keep in the front of your mind. And if you're taking notes, you might want to jot them down. And I'll try to repeat the sort of basic concepts so that if you're taking notes, you'll be able to get it down. So the first is, it's not you, it's everyone. And this is one of my favorite sayings. So what I mean by that is that almost every single one of my clients and students somewhere along the way cites communication challenges. And many, many people think that it's just them. Somehow I missed the memo on how to do this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know the things that other people know. I didn't get the manual. And it's really not just you. It's everyone, or it's almost everybody. Almost everybody deals with these confidence issues. The thing is that we can be really good at hiding our areas of nervousness. And some people, you never know. Maybe they're coming off really confident today, and maybe they did a lot of work to get there. So when you're starting to have, you're at that networking event and you're looking around and you're feeling like, I'm not interesting enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't know how to make conversation, keep in mind that chances are if you could get behind the curtain for other people in that room, many of them are having the same thoughts. So sometimes making changes is about being fearful and fearless at the same time. And many times you're going to sort of be called on to go in and allow yourself to hear your confidence killer and move forward anyway. So it's not you, it's everyone. The second concept to help you handle confidence killers is think about your communication endeavors as a series of experiments. Think about your communication endeavors as a series of experiments. So in a minute, we're going to talk about some specific experiments you can do, but in general, it can really help to look at all of these endeavors as opportunities to try things out. You're allowed to screw up. So something I sometimes say is high status and high stakes equals high stress. So check into your beliefs about status and stakes. In other words, if you're holding the belief that somebody that you're talking to, whether it's someone you're dating or whether it's somebody that you're networking with or whatever it is, if you believe that they are somehow a higher status than you, rather than thinking we are two equal human beings, that can make a huge difference in how you approach and interpret an interaction. And if you believe that with the stakes, if you believe that an interaction is make or break, or once in a lifetime, like this is the only time that I'm going to have this opportunity, that puts a lot of pressure on that one opportunity. So I really encourage you to think about your communication endeavors just as a series of experiments. Embrace imperfection. There is no one right way. Some people will tell you that there is one right way. That's not the camp that I'm that I have my stake in the ground in. I really believe that humans there are certainly things that you can do to improve your communication, but people are unpredictable. They're influenced by so much. So part of what you want to do is craft a series of experiments and find what works best for you, and get out of that place of sort of being dominated by status and stakes. The third concept is that there's often a really big difference between intent and impact. This is huge, and it's huge in social situations where you're just entering a group trying to get to know people. It's huge in conflicts, which we're going to go into a lot in depth in week 4 of the camp. This shows up as hurt. Your intention wasn't to hurt somebody, but that person was hurt. But in social situations with people you don't know as well, often it comes out as, she's not into me, or he doesn't like me, right? When oftentimes that person might not have had the intention of sending that message. And, someone can hurt you without meaning to, or we talked about this a little bit in the beginning, that sometimes you can be feeling a positive or neutral intention or a lack of intention and have a negative impact on someone else. So it's really important to keep that in mind whenever you're communicating, whether it's on your end or the other person. There's often a really big difference between intent and impact. The fourth concept to help you handle your confidence killers when they start to come up is We cannot control others. We can only influence them. No matter what you learn, no matter how many communication books you read or courses you take, you can't control anybody else. Never take too much responsibility or too much credit. So what you can do is influence others, and you can make choices that are more likely to get the response or build the relationship you want, or in some case, filter out the people who aren't a fit for you, as in dating. By the same token, other people can't control you, and you're responsible for your own reactions. And that can be a hard one. It's easy to kind of get into a victim place of, you know, this person did this to me. Keep in mind, as much as you can't control others, you can only influence them. Other people can't control you either. They can only influence you. There's freedom in that, but there's also responsibility. And the fifth concept has two parts to it, and they both are the same. They both sound the same, but they have sort of different meanings. So it's not all about you. And the first way we see it's not all about you is that no matter how personal it feels, a lot of the time it's not personal. Every single person you interact with is coming from a tremendous mix of experiences, a belief system, a set of influences, and it's so easy to believe that it's about us. So fear of rejection drives a lot of us. But the reality is that if somebody walks away from you or isn't into you or doesn't return your phone call or doesn't want to talk to you about your business or whatever it is, it could be so much else. It could be the way that they're physically feeling. They could be exhausted. They could be worried about something. They could be embarrassed. They could be feeling awkward. Maybe they just aren't into you, you know, but there's so many possible reasons that a person could be acting in any certain way. So no matter how personal it feels, a lot of the time it's not personal. That's one way it's not all about you. The other way I like to talk about it's not all about you is that if you're always focused on being good enough for others, step back and acknowledge that the other person is just one half of this equation. If one of you is way more than half in interest level and effort, et cetera, that's some imbalance to look at. So many people tend to be so focused on being good enough for the other person, for being interesting enough for this gathering, being good enough to sort of get that date or whatever it is, that they lose sight that part of this process is to decide how other people make you feel, right? And especially, you know, to use the dating example, to kind of shift from the mentality of just pleasing others and trying to generate interest in you to kind of refocus on it's not all about you. How does this other person make you feel? How valued do you feel? How respected do you feel when you're talking to this person? So just to run through those again, it's not you, it's everyone. Think about your communication endeavors as a series of experiments. There's often a big difference between intent and impact. We cannot control others. We can only influence them. And it's not all about you. So now that we've talked about some of the ways that you can kind of think through your confidence killers, we've talked about getting clear on your sticking points and your confidence killers and working with those confidence killers, I want to talk a little bit about some ways that you can prepare for sticking points. So the first one is to imagine and picture and visualize success. Now, I've had situations where I've been planning to go to a party and I've imagined myself standing alone with no one to talk to. One thing that you can do is to really reprogram your brain, like when you start to notice yourself doing that, if one of your sticking points is like that moment when I walk in the room, imagine walking into that room feeling confident and actually like take the time to visualize and see that. You can use music to help you. I legit have a mix that psychs me up to go out when I'm feeling lethargic and like I don't want to talk to anyone if I know that, you know, on some level I really want to go. So do whatever you need to kind of help you get into that visualization of a positive experience. Another thing you can do is to accept the involuntary reactions that you might have, and I'm going to kind of get clear on what those are in a second, as part of your charm. So what I mean by involuntary reactions, we're going to talk about things in communication that you can, you know, control or make choices about, but then there are things that are less voluntary, like sweating and blushing and throat clearing and crying and, you know, all of those things that sort of happen to you and you feel like you can't control. So accept those as part of your charm. And sometimes you can even own and acknowledge them. So depending on the situation, like, you know, it can sometimes even be possible to acknowledge them out loud. You know, I can feel myself turning red. I must think you're cute. Or I'm stumbling over my words. I guess I'm just really excited to meet you. Or I'm stumbling over my words. I'm just so passionate about this topic. So you can even acknowledge it. You know, how cute is it when somebody blushes and you know, that person is interesting to you? You can have humor about it without being self-deprecating. It's not about putting yourself down, but you can acknowledge it in a lighthearted way. The confidence and self-acceptance of your involuntary reactions can help change them from awkward into awesome. And of course, you can learn ways to calm down physically. Centering is a really great way to do that, in fact, when you're starting to notice those involuntary reactions. But just to kind of deal with those things as part of your charm. Another thing you can do is learn to interpret nervousness and anxiety as a sign of excitement or engagement. They're physiologically very close. Whereas excitement is energizing, anxiety is energy draining. And, you know, excitement is about possibility and anxiety is danger ahead. So your language can be really powerful in this. And we're going to do a lot with language in summer camp, but a quick example here and an experiment to try this week is try things like, you know, turn what if into I wonder. So instead of what if I don't meet anyone, I wonder who I'll meet, right? What if no one talks to me? I wonder who I'll get to talk to. Another thing that you can do is reframe networking and dating as, you know, any situation as an opportunity to learn about another person or field. So really, again, it's not all about you. Cultivate curiosity and think of it as an opportunity to learn and understand about another person. So if you're going into a networking event, think about, ooh, like I wonder what I could learn about other people's work, or think about a date as an opportunity to learn about a new person rather than like a time that you need to prove yourself a certain way. And another thing that's important is to reward yourself for taking little risks and little steps. So the success is in trying stuff. So another really important step in becoming a confident communicator is to get really clear on what that means for you. So what does a communicator who's confident look like, sound like, and feel like? And how are you going to know when you're a confident communicator? So one of the things that I'm putting on the site that I'm going to share with you at the end of the call is just a very simple little tool that will help you figure that out for yourself. You know, it's a place where you can write about what does it look like, what does it sound like, what are the skills that you need to break down that you want to be working on. But I want to just encourage you to craft experiments and just pick one or two things to focus on at a time. The idea isn't to overwhelm yourself and think, oh, I have to think about this and this and this. It's just a list of things to consider. The numbers vary. Researchers tell us that so much of communication is nonverbal. And when they don't match up, when the verbal and the nonverbal don't match up, people tend to look at the nonverbal over the verbal. So your body can really influence your mind and what other people think of you. I'm going to give you a link on that website to an amazing TED Talk that has some good stuff about body language influencing you. And so it can be, you know, a combination of being authentic and faking it till you make it. So aspects of communication that you might think about when you're thinking about your ideal image are body position, you know, posture, your gestures, whether you touch, whether you don't touch, your orientation, where are you facing, your grooming, your dress, your smell and hygiene, your eye contact, your facial expression, are you smiling, is your jaw really tense, your tone, thinking about all the things with sound, your tone, your pace, your volume, your pitch, your clarity, your intensity and volume in terms of like how much you're talking. Are you coming out a mile a minute and people can't even absorb what you're saying? You know, what are all these things about your energy level? How aware are you about the way that other people are receiving the pace at which you're talking? Your boundaries in general, your awareness of others, comfort level with how much you're sharing. Silence and space. Some people feel the need to fill it. Some people need it to process. Content and words, what are you actually saying? Are you using positive or negative language? What kind of vocabulary are you using? how are you listening? That's going to be a huge component of camp and way too big a topic to go into right now. And what are your inner thoughts and your story and your overall self-image? So these are all sort of aspects of communication to think about as you're creating your ideal image. I have one cool exercise for you to try this week, and it's one that has completely transformed the confidence of a lot of people that I've worked with. And that's to, this week, attempt to make eye contact and smile at everyone that you encounter, like walking down the street, that you feel safe and comfortable doing so. And I, if you try this experiment, I'd like you to email me and tell me what you find out. I don't want to tell you what my clients have found out because I want to hear sort of what you get. But so the homework assignment is just to try to make eye contact and smile with everybody on the street and see what comes up for you. See what you notice about what you experience and what you notice about other people. So that's an example of an experiment that you can craft for yourself around one of these areas. So before we end, I want to just talk to you very quickly about 30-something summer camp. I am so excited about it. And I've been thinking, you know, who says camp is just for kids? So I decided to start 30-something summer camp. And this is a place for you to join other 30-somethings who are really invested in creating the relationships, careers, and lives they want. And it's a camp that you can call into from anywhere in the world, and it's about putting a ton of tools in your tool belt. So when you master the things that we're talking about, you're going to be more powerful and effective at home and work and in your personal life, and you're going to learn communication tips and tools and concepts that will transform your interactions with everyone in your life. So it's Monday evenings from 8 to 9:30 on August 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th, and that's Eastern time, p.m., and there are still spots available. Tonight is the last day for the early bird rate. So the camp is $199, but if you register before midnight tonight, it's $149. And in the first week, we're going to be talking about how to listen so people feel heard and how to talk to yourself. In the second week, we're going to be talking about how to connect and ask the right questions so people open up to you, whether it's in dating, family, networking, friends, and crisis. The third week is all about asking for help and asking for what you want and need. So many people have trouble with this, and we're going to talk about why and what the common blocks are and how to get past them. And the fourth week is all about communicating during conflicts and how to apologize. So camp is four 90-minute classes with lots of opportunities for active participation and questions and coaching. And you're going to get a workbook with assignments to help you apply the material and practice between sessions. You get email support with me between sessions, and you'll also get a one-on-one private coaching consultation. And in case you have to miss a class, you'll get a downloadable MP3 recording of each call. Whether or not you decide to enroll in 30-something summer camp, I want to challenge you to enact some of the tips from today, try some of the exercises that we talked about, and visit the website that I give you in a minute just to kind of watch that TED Talk that I talked about and get a couple of exercises that you can use. And I hope that these tips and tools have given you some insight and empowerment on how to speak with confidence. If you'd like to connect with me afterward, I'd love to hear from you. I'm really excited about summer camps, so I'm looking for 30-something summer campers, but I'm also currently accepting new coaching clients, so you can certainly contact me for that as well. I really hope that you will sign up for my list and get lots of free tips and tools that I send out weekly. And you can also connect on Facebook. It's facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. And Twitter, I'm at Spalding Carey. And I want to remind you, you have 2 weeks to sign up for the class. The way that you can get registered is through the link that I'm about to give you. We are going to be starting in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited to jump in. I'm really excited that you've been here tonight. And I hope that you will feel free to reach out and let me know how any of these exercises or experiences impact you in your communication. And I hope to see you in camp. Please, please, please be in touch if you have any questions at all. Okay, everyone, we're going to say goodnight. Have a 30 awesome rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this preview of 30-something summer camp. If you're ready to sign up for camp, you can do that at www.carriespaulding.com. That's www.carriespaulding.com. Once you're over there, just look at the events tab and choose 30-something summer camp, register now, and you will be all set to start with us in just a couple of weeks. If you have any questions about 30-something summer camp, just shoot me an email at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, or you can also give me a call at 602-684-2458. Have an awesome day.